Hello and welcome to GlobalScape's Moving Data podcast series. My name is James Hilliard. I'm a former business and technology reporter and editor, and happy to be with you for this series. On this episode, GlobalScape CEO and President Jim Morris joins the conversation. During our chat, we hope to explore the future of managed file transfers, but first I really want to dip into the past a bit via Jim's background. For a good three decades, Jim has been a leader in the fields of IT, network security, assurance, and operations. He co-led the Y2K cyber assurance cell for the White House. He was an independent advisor for two security product software companies. He's also served on numerous industry and government review panels. He came to GlobalScape in 2008. And Jim, I want to bring you in and kind of get us going with the present. Specifically, I want to start with the top, let's say, three regulations or so that you see have the greatest impact on companies today with regards to data and file transfers.
Sarbanes-Oxley, for those that are publicly traded, HIPAA, to protect patient information, and PCI, payment credit industry, for all of the thousands of organizations worldwide that take credit cards.
And on my list, I put checkmark, checkmark, checkmark. You hit all the things that I knew out there. I think those are the ones that we see in the news headlines as we follow security trends and issues. Are there additional, say, two or three types of regulations that are maybe coming on strong, that are regulations that folks might have to be dealing with and should be aware of in the coming kind of weeks, months, years?
Well, there's international regulations that are getting a lot of visibility. There's some new ISO regulations for risk management that are now being adopted, that you actually have a risk management program that's been vetted and certified by an independent third party that says that you are compliant with managing risk of trading partners and suppliers of information. So there's constant review. The National Institute of Standards and Technology, from a government perspective, publishes new criteria constantly to make sure that the U.S. government is as secure as it can be, can afford to be, and manage risk. If you go to pre-9/11, the U.S. government had regulations from a cybersecurity standpoint. Since 9/11, with presidential directives, the creation of now a cyber czar on the National Security Council staff, as opposed to being buried within the Department of Homeland Security, and this individual, once named, will also have a budget, just gives a heightened awareness in the United States, in the government, of the cyber threats. And most of the critical infrastructure in the United States is owned by the private sector, not the public government.
I believe, many people believe, we're definitely in a new regulatory era and that we're going to see more coming down the line. Is that what you anticipate as well?
I do anticipate it, James. You're going to get some pushback from the private sector, because every time that you have to have new compliance with a government-mandated regulation, it costs that organization money, and the money's got to come from somewhere. And in today's environment of a global economy downturn, it's rob Peter to pay Paul. So I'm going to take something away to get more compliance, regulatory compliance with U.S. government regulations and standards. So I'm going to not do something so I can become compliant. The boards of directors, the CEOs, the CIOs are not going to be left off the hook.
You mentioned things like Sarbanes-Oxley, PCI compliance. Is there one type of kind of top inquiry you've had from organizations where they're struggling trying to comply with some regulation? Is there one that's kind of getting more attention, maybe keeping CIOs up a little bit more at night than the others?
Sarbanes-Oxley, particularly since the all the problems that the country, or really the world, has had on financial services, people in the money business, brokerage houses. Sarbanes-Oxley is a really huge issue.
The U.S., we are one of the biggest users of technology. We are also one of the biggest regulators of technology. And Jim, it's not just the federal government, but we have state governments very active as well, states like California and Massachusetts.
Certainly, Massachusetts and California have their own views of data protection and data rights and the privacy of individuals. Whether or not those regulatory requirements are established, mandated and enforced, only time will tell. But certainly Massachusetts and California are on the forefront at the state level of pushing cybersecurity requirements.
Do you know of any other regulations that are on the way that, say, in the next 18 to 24 months, the landscape is going to change for certain verticals or industries, maybe the mining industry, maybe it's the car industry, anything that you're watching that you see kind of working through the channels out there?
There's a lot of interest in energy and regulatory compliance in the energy infrastructure. Energy infrastructure is owned by the private sector and is sold to the private and public sector. The vulnerabilities, the stabilities of energy is so critical to our national security. So when you talk about gas, oil, nuclear power, power grid, diesel, coal, if we don't have energy, it's going to get pretty cold in the New England in the winter. It's going to get pretty hot in the Southwest in the summer. And we rely on energy as one of the greatest gross national products of the United States. And if it was compromised or corrupted or being able to be manipulated either internally or externally, including externally from nation-state-supported organizations that would want to do harm against the United States, regulatory requirements of energy, I do know that there's a lot of conversation in Washington on that and within the trade organizations.
What are you finding that most boards of directors, most CIOs or CISOs, what are you seeing that they're doing to stay on top of the latest information? And maybe it's even, Jim, from you, a couple of tips to stay on top of information about regulations here so that all of a sudden, as a deadline does really approach, they don't feel under the gun. Oh my, we've got 2 weeks to comply. We're in no position yet to comply. We're going to face fines. You know, no one wants to be in that position. So what are some things that you think they can do to really stay ahead of the curve and keep up to speed on what is changing on really what seems like a regular basis?
There's a few. Every corporation, company that is publicly traded and most that are private have a outside auditing firm. It could be a big four. There's a lot of tier two and tier three. In fact, boutique companies that do a very fine job at auditing. I can certainly tell you at the tier one and tier two auditing firms, in their practice, they have expertise from a compliance standpoint that can help counsel and guide your CFO and CIO from a compliance standpoint. Research is also a great tool. There's a lot of information available through search engines. And the third item I would say would be getting good security consulting, outside consulting, to come in to help you craft policy. Policy drives the rest of the organization. If you do not have a policy that is enforceable and acceptable, you've got the wrong policy.
And Jim, I think many people would agree with you on that. Hey, I really do appreciate the time today. Look forward to talking to you more. I also want to thank our listeners. Thank you for tuning in today. We appreciate that. We do want to point you to some interesting case studies. You can find those at globalscape.com. Just follow the solutions links. We also encourage you to browse the website for more product and service offering information. Again, my thanks to Jim Morris for taking time. The entire Globalscape team, thanks you for listening. I'm James Hilliard, and we will talk to you down the road.